Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. But if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of 2 Kings, picking up essentially where we left off, beginning at verse 6. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God, to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray thee, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now unto me." Let me say that again. "Let him come now unto me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Heavenly Father, once again, thank you for your word. And Lord, I want us to be edified today. I want us to be strengthened today in the power of the Lord and in his might. And help us to trust in a greater fashion in the Lord and what he can do for us. And I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I started here in verse 6, and it seems like I'm in the middle of something or what have you. We've already gone over the first part of this chapter. And Naaman had heard the gospel, or whatever little part of the gospel at any rate. He had heard the gospel of the healing power of God, the delivering power of God, from his wife's little maid that he himself had stolen from her family back in Israel, Naaman being a Syrian, etc. But he was a mighty man of valor, etc. We went over this last time, but he was a leper. He was a great general or captain or something of that nature, colonel or something, in the Syrian army. He was also a leper, and his leprosy, his dread disease, should have made him to be anathema. It should have made him to be shunned and put out of the camp, told to go live with the other lepers, maybe in some wood or valley, away from everyone else. I don't understand it. He should have been shunned. He should have been treated like everyone else. But because of his abilities, his understanding of battle, his determination, his skill, or what have you, for some reason they overlooked the fact that he was a leper. And this, to look at him, it was horrible. Probably he smelled as flesh was rotting. And there was the fear that if he touched someone or brushed up against them, they too would get infected with, we now know it's a bacteria. So it's a little strange to me, but that's what the Bible says. But again, he heard the gospel. He heard that there was a prophet in Israel, Elisha by name, that could heal As the little captive maid said, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Leprosy is a symbol. The Bible is full of many symbols. Leprosy is a symbol of sin. And sin is what we're going to talk about today. But in verse 8, when Elisha heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, when the Jews, let's just say, the Jews, when someone dies, they tear their shirt. This is something they do even today. I remember a certain instance, the rabbi in South Baton Rouge, I suppose, Hundred Oaks, or wherever the synagogue is, I forget exactly where it is. I remember hearing of just such an instance. The rabbi got bad news of someone, and by way of mourning, he ripped his shirt. So this is still something that Jews do today. They rend their clothes. The king of Israel was asked to heal a man of leprosy, and he says, "I can't do this. There's simply no way. I'm a king. I'm not a healer. I mean, I guess I go to church sometimes, but I'm not in touch with God enough to do this." And by way of astonishment, I guess, and maybe impending doom or something, he said, "You see, this king, he's trying to come up with some excuse. He seeketh a quarrel against me, and he rent his clothes." But when the prophet Elisha heard that the king, out of desperation, had rent his clothes, he sent a message back to the king saying, "Let that leprous Naaman come to me, and he shall know that there's a prophet in Israel." This, I think, fits today. Many of our churches have forgotten the gospel. They've put it on the shelf. They've taken the blood out of the hymnals. They've perhaps taken the Bible and put it on the side. And the messages that some of them preach over television, and obviously, if I called the man's name that I'm thinking of, everyone would know it. He preaches a non-message. He gets on TV and is interviewed and is asked point blank, "Will a sinner go to hell?" And he says, "I don't know." "What do you mean you don't know? I don't understand how you couldn't know." Maybe some don't go as far, but most churches don't believe that Jesus can heal the sick. Most churches don't believe that he can deliver the drug addict, the crackhead. Most churches don't believe that Jesus at an old-fashioned altar can restore marriage. We send the hard cases to the psychologist or to the doctor or the shrink or to the social worker or something. But the short of it is that today we just don't believe the Bible. But God is saying here today that there is a prophet in Israel. There is a prophet in Israel. There is healing here in America. The gospel is still true. Jesus is still here. God is still on the throne. If you have any problem, look to the Lord. If you have any difficulty, look to God. Depend upon God. There is still a prophet in Israel. And Jesus can still come through for you. So Naaman comes. And it says he stood at the door of the house of the prophet Elisha. And it says in verse 10 that Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." I love studying the Old Testament because everywhere I look, I see symbol after symbol after symbol after symbol. this little verse right here, verse 10, tells us about the Great Commission. We said that the two prophets, Elijah and Elisha, they picture Christ, but in this fashion. The first prophet, Elijah, was a picture of the Old Testament, and Elisha, the second prophet, a picture of the New Covenant, the New Testament, or Israel in the church, or the Old and the New. But in this instance, Elisha, it says he sent a messenger unto him, unto Naaman, saying, "Go and wash." Right here, he's the prophet, is a picture of Jesus Christ. But we have the Great Commission. Jesus sends us as ambassadors, as messengers, to all the world to preach the gospel. Again, a great picture. And a picture that's told, and a message that's told again and again and again and again and again, that we should be about the Father's business. But the message, "Go and wash 7 times in Jordan, and your flesh will come again unto you, and you shall be clean." If leprosy is a type of sin, or not a type, but a symbol of sin, and washing in the Jordan makes him clean, then there's some washing that can take place in the life of a sinner that will wash away his sin. "What shall wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow." As we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and the precious blood that He shed, our sins can be washed away. But it says, "Go and wash in Jordan." And in the next couple of verses, Naaman was quite angry. "What do you mean, wash in Jordan? I'm not going to go to Jordan. Who cares about Jordan? We've got better rivers. They're clean. It's beautiful mountain stream or something, and woods and everything, and maybe some deer over there. I mean, it's beautiful. This is a beautiful river. Jordan, who cares about Jordan? And who wants to go to that town anyhow? Bunch of hicks or what have you?" You get the idea. He says it right there that in verse 12, "Are not Abana and Pharfar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? How come I can't wash in those and be clean?" God shows the foolishness of preaching and the old rugged cross as the only remedy for sin. And you know as well as I do that men, sinners, say, "Well, I don't need that. Who wants to go sit in church with a bunch of boring Christians and watch a man stand up and do this ritual and that? I don't want to be in that. I don't care about that. I want to go be with my friends. I mean, my way is just as good." But you see, there's only one way to get to heaven. It's the straight and narrow way. "And few there be that go in thereat," it says. But he says, "Go to Jordan in Israel." You see, you have to come to church. No, church doesn't save, but the gospel is preached mainly in churches, sometimes on street corners. I'm on the radio. I guess that's public. I do missions work and we go do outdoor stuff. That's public. But Christians, they're in church. The preacher, the deacon, the choir perhaps in some churches, they're in church. At some point, the sinner has to come to church. After he gets saved, he needs to fellowship with other believers. Not the bars, not the cracked ends, not the golf course, but at some point, we have to be in church. Not some river in Syria that may look better, but a river in Israel. You have to come to God's house. You have to be in God's family. But it says, wash seven times, and thou shalt be clean. The number seven is a symbol of divinity, and you'll find it all over Scripture. And I've said before that many will come up with a cottage industry, I guess, of numerology. The number this means that, the number this means the other thing. Eight is new beginnings, and etc., and etc., and etc., and I lose track of all of what they come up with. There are very few numbers that God gives any significance to, seven being one. But I take it from the Bible. I take it from the Word of God that seven means something. In Isaiah, it talks about the seven spirits of God. Again, another use of the word seven. We know that the Spirit of God is holy. We know that the Spirit of God is God, the third person of the Trinity. So the number seven does mean divinity, but again, I go to the Bible for that understanding. The Bible code, the worst example of numerology, is a fraud. There's nothing there. You're wasting your time if you spend any time trying to apply the Bible code and get any information. If you want to know what the Bible says, the hidden message, it's hidden from those that are sinners. But anyone that's willing to humble himself, as Naaman had to do, all the secrets that God has, he will give freely and openly. He spoke to the multitudes, Jesus did, in parables. But he explained every parable to the disciples and those that followed God. You want to know what the secret message of the Bible is? It's this: repent and believe the gospel. If you look for anything else, you're a fool.
He poured out.
Hello friends, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly. Beginning Sunday, January the 8th at 6 p.m., we'll begin holding evangelistic services at Old Paths Tabernacle. These services are an outreach of the Joey Kelly broadcast. If you like old-fashioned singing and preaching and a revival atmosphere, I'm sure you'll enjoy attending these services. To kick things off, I'll be doing an in-depth, verse-by-verse study of the book of Matthew. You know that I love teaching the types in the Old Testament, but I'm looking forward to studying the fulfillment of those types
which of course is the Lord Jesus Christ. Old Pat's Tabernacle will be meeting in the Fellowship Hall of Old Metairie Protestant Church, 1301 Metairie Road, here in Metairie, at the corner of Metairie Road and Conifer Boulevard, which is right across from the Shell Station. Services are at 6 p.m. Sunday evenings only. I hope to see you there. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Conifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.